TikTok hearings, I guess, are underway this week, and their CEO made sure to post a friendly little video about how cool and how hip TikTok is, essentially begging their 150 million users in the United States to try and make sure the app stays available here. Translation, please keep the CCP in touch with half of this country's personal data, where they are, what their locations are, and Lord knows what else, what other information they have access to on our phones. Now, look, I'm not like a Red Scare guy. I don't like the Chinese government. I don't like them having any apps in this country. There's a reason why they don't allow our apps in their country, or what the apps that are there have to be partially owned by a Chinese company, all this type of things. They have all sorts of restrictions, and there's a reason for that, because they know what gets done with that data. And their CEO puts out this video that, TikTok CEO shares video warning users about looming ban. Now, this could take TikTok away from 150 million of you. Seems a little scared.
Hi, everyone. It's Sho here. I'm the CEO of TikTok. I'm here in Washington, D.C. today, and I have some news and updates to share with everyone here. Today, I'm super excited to announce that more than 150 million Americans are on TikTok. That's almost half of the U.S. coming to TikTok.
That seems more concerning to me than anything, right?
Next, to create, to share, to learn, or just to have some fun. This includes 5 million businesses that use TikTok to reach the customers. And the majority of these are small and medium businesses. Now, these numbers are amazing. And I'm so thankful to all of you.
What he's saying here is, oh, well, if they take TikTok away, it's going to destroy all these businesses that rely on TikTok. Never could have existed without TikTok. Now, he's not wrong about that. There are entire businesses that exist because of TikTok. And that is a very real threat to removing it. That said, probably should diversify where you're at. I mean, that's why I work so hard with Coffee Brand Coffee, for example. Coffee Brand Coffee is my coffee company. Most people know about it primarily through YouTube, promo code The Quartering if you want to try it out. But I need to have more channels for marketing, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, word of mouth, all these type of things. This is important to any business owner.
And the 7,000 TikTok employees in the US who are helping us build this incredible community in America and around the world. Now, this comes at a pivotal moment for us. Some politicians have started talking about banning TikTok. Now, this could take TikTok away from all 150 million of you. I'll be testifying before Congress later this week to share all that we're doing to protect Americans using the app and deliver on our mission to inspire creativity and to bring joy. Let me know in the comments what you want your elected representatives to know.
I want the ban to go through. Not only do I want the ban to go through, to be honest with you, I want / need there to be new rules, restrictions in place that will protect Americans' data. Not just removing TikTok. That's just playing whack-a-mole. Fine, ban it right now. What WeChat or whatever, like what are these other big apps? I have no problem whatsoever banning them, suspending them until such a point in which we can get more protections in place. Now, on Tuesday, coincidentally, they unveiled its updated community guidelines, which the company says will focus on improving content moderation on the platform, except the type of content that it is feeding people. Is damaging. And in fact, I want to bring up this other story here. Now, this is even from Vice, right? Vice is kind of a dying news outlet, but certainly a far left leaning one that probably loves TikTok and loves the CCP. This came out yesterday. TikTok is pushing incel and self-deletion videos to 13-year-olds. It only takes 10 minutes on the platform for TikTok's powerful algorithm to suggest extreme content to young kids. within minutes of TikTok's youngest users signing up for a new account, which I think you have to be 13 minimum, right? The platform's powerful algorithm is bombarding teens with extreme content, including videos promoting a self-deletion and virulently misogynistic incel subculture, according to new research published today by corporate accountability group Echo and shared with Vice News. Despite TikTok's promise to crack down on this type of content, it's still easily discoverable by new users who want to seek it out. Well, look, here's the thing. It's what they want these kids to see. It's what they want to push. You think they're seeing this type of stuff in China? No, their algorithm's pushing math and nationalism and all sorts of stuff like that. They're not pushing this stuff. They're pushing this stuff in the West, though, to destabilize our youth, in my opinion. Despite TikTok's promises to crack down on this kind of content, it's still easily discoverable by new users who want to seek it out, and TikTok's recommendation algorithm is so advanced that it will begin pushing increasingly extreme content into the feed of new users after they've used the app for just 10 minutes. The researchers set up 9 different new TikTok accounts, which have replaced Instagram and Facebook as the de facto social media platform for teenagers in America, with 150 million active users. They stated their age is 13, the youngest you can legally be to, unless, you know, allegedly be to use it. Obviously, people can, you know, do whatever they want. They then mimicked users who are curious about topics like incel content. The researchers found that after viewing just 10 videos related to these topics for the For You page, new accounts were filled with similar and often more extreme content. One test account was shown a post of a clip that included a clip of Jake Gyllenhaal, whose film has been very popular among them. The video shows the actor, I'm not going to go through that. That's obviously not great. The video, which has now been removed, racked up over 440,000 likes, over 2.1 million views. The majority of commenters were supporting the suggested self-deletion, while other users shared commentary about their own loneliness, many suggesting they feel dead inside. One commenter even suggested that their own would be happening in the next 4 hours. See, this is the content that TikTok wants the youth to see. In a statement issued to Vice News in response to the report on Tuesday, TikTok said, "We work hard to prevent the surfacing of harmful content on our platform by removing violations." Well, yeah. Anytime I dunked on some lunatic SJW, it would get removed literally within minutes. But this content on there exists. Why? Because, in my opinion, TikTok wants it to be there. TikTok knows that it is bad for our youth. TikTok doesn't care. Of course, all this stuff, you know, after 2021 report was published, the company did remove some of the videos highlighted in the report as they violated community guidelines, and TikTok banned certain search terms, such as black pill or incel, a term, we all know what that means. TikTok disputed the new filings reports, claiming that it does not reflect genuine behavior that we see on TikTok. But there's growing evidence that the misogynistic worldview of figures like Andrew Tate is taking hold among youth as young as 12. Well, I don't know how much you're going to blame this on Tate, given he hasn't made a new TikTok video in a very long time. But I mean, this is the kind of stuff that gets pushed on Westerners. They're not promoting this stuff in China. Like, I guarantee that. And now they're over here again. I'm just a happy-go-lucky Mr. CEO. I love Americans. America, big. We love you. Yeah, right. TikTok CEO appears on TikTok to warn users about the TikTok ban. He's not warning them. He's trying to mobilize them. He's trying to play on their emotions. But this is ahead of the House testimony, which I don't believe is going to go well. It's just not going to. TikTok says it has worked to create risk mitigation plan to ensure that U.S. data does not get in the hands of foreign adversary through its app. The company has said that U.S. user data is already stored outside of China, except we've already seen numerous cases where they just access it anyway. It's just a simple FTP connection or, a simple data connection away. People there have access to it, of course. The fact that it's already been banned, India banned TikTok in 2020, TikTok still has access to years of Indians' data. Yeah. Although I'm pretty sure Indians are using TikTok plenty. VPNs are a thing. TikTok CEO tells Congress that Chinese-owned app now has 150 million active users in the United States. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not a good thing. Not with the concerns that exist anyway. Not with what people are talking about in terms of, you know, why we have concerns. Now, I don't use TikTok because I was banned immediately for pushing back against the woke ideology that they push on all our youth. It took just a few days to ban my wildly popular account on there, simply refuting leftist ideology. But right now, I think it's important that we protect our citizens. Nobody actually needs TikTok. It's not a human right. And until such a point in which we can agree that it's safe and it's secure and Americans' data is safe, I'm 100% fine with its ban. YouTube appears to be under attack with one of its biggest tech channels, not only hacked but banned from the platform, and several other subsidiary channels banned from the platform. And this time it hits Linus Tech Tips, a channel that, hilariously, is obviously one of the foremost tech channels, and that they obviously cover cybersecurity and things of that nature. And it really just kind of reveals that anyone can get got right now, and YouTube continues to do nothing to protect creators. We've talked about this at length right now in my comment section and many other YouTuber comment sections. We have issues with these Telegram scams that YouTube just does not have a solution for. It's seemingly any solution that they actually want to do, and they continue to push it back on creators to be moderating our own comment sections, but it's all automated, so it's nearly impossible to fix. Now we have what looks like is a section hijack of Linus Tech Tips. This is going to be first covering, obviously, the situation, but also some important tips to not have this happen to you. There's a lot of these, from what I understand, a lot of these hackers, just as a reminder, there's a lot of these like crypto scammers. They have like bounties on big channels, and there are communications between a lot of these hacking groups that try to take down these big channels. They end up always replacing them with the same kind of Elon Musk weirdo scam stuff. But there's a lot of things creators can do to avoid this. We're going to talk about that. So YouTube has had an ongoing issue with account breaches, and now it appears one of the largest YouTube channels on the platform has been hacked. Linus Tech Tips, known for its accessible PC hardware content, has been the latest victim. The channel has now been renamed Linus Tech Tips Temp under the handle Temporary Handle. The channel has also deleted most of its videos, although they are gradually being restored. The breach channel streamed two videos featuring Elon Musk about crypto, of course, with Twitter's original founder, one named OpenAI ChatGPT-4, a game-changing AI technology, and the other called Linus Tech Tips and Elon Musk Special Crypto Giveaway. So, this isn't an automated thing. They actually specifically titled the video to fool his viewers and followers. The latter stream had been taken down around after 20 minutes of broadcasting. The first stream went down about 35 minutes of broadcasting. However, they have now both been put live again, which what appears to be a struggle between the malicious actors and YouTube themselves. Both live streams appear to be identical, showcasing the exact same video, though the chat, a link to presumably malicious crypto giveaway, is present. This appears to be another phishing attempt in order to get cryptocurrency wallet details from unsuspecting viewers. While bad actors might have already scrubbed most of Linus Tech Tips videos, previous instances of account breaches with account video deletion have had its accounts returned following by recovery from the account owner. It appears as though the previously deleted videos are now in the process of being restored by YouTube itself. The re-uploaded videos also seemingly include previously unlisted videos with different titles. Some even state explicitly, do not upload or do not use. So they even so YouTube is restoring the channel, and in the mess and the chaos of all of that, it turned out to be even worse because they may have uploaded videos that were, I don't know, not ready for public consumption, that were private details, that were, you know, maybe even contained personal information, and they were just using it to share. You see, obviously, a video in this screenshot says "Do not use." Another one that says "Do not use." So that's obviously a potential another security issue for Linus. This has been a lingering problem for YouTube as an additional tech channel, eTechnics, was hacked a few weeks ago, but it seemingly had its account returned to them with all the videos recovered as well. Except what we don't know is how many of their viewers got scammed in the crypto stuff. Now, you would think, you know, if suddenly my channel was replaced by you see like some crypto video, my viewers like are not dumb enough to fall for it. So I don't know how often this actually works, especially since if you've been using YouTube for any amount of time, you've seen this exact same Elon Musk video a million times. Every time a channel gets hacked, that's what you see. It's unclear how the hackers managed to get into the account of Linus Tech Tips, though it highlights the importance of security on all accounts where possible. The Linus Tech Tips account has now been terminated following the breach. Twitch has also had the same problems with crypto scams, streams posing as Elon Musk, sometimes taking over big name streamers. Now, Linus has responded, though. A few hours after the hack, Linus made a post to their float plane to confirm that they were aware and working with Google to resolve the issue. Regarding the YouTube channel hack, we are on top of it with Google's team right now. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it. Linus said, everything should be locked down and we are getting to the bottom of the attack vector with the hopeful goal of hardening their security around YouTube accounts and preventing this sort of thing from happening to anyone in the future. You know what's frustrating about this? This has happened to thousands of channels over the past couple of years, maybe tens of thousands of channels. And only once it happens to Linus Tech Tips. Now, I'm not mad about, you know, Linus Tech Tips. I think he does a great job. Obviously, it's not his fault. But it is frustrating as a content creator that doesn't have 20 million subscribers that it takes it happening to Linus before YouTube agrees to actually do anything about it. Maybe while he has them on, while he's bending their ear about this, he could talk to him about all these Telegram scams in everybody's comment sections, which are essentially making him unusable. I can't keep up with banning these accounts. I keep banning them. 10 more come back. Linus also said a more detailed update on the situation on the WAN show at some point. Well, it's not just them. There are other Tech Quickie, which is another channel associated with Linus Tech Tips, was also hacked. This probably means they have high-level access to the entire Google account. This is a major mess. You can see this Linus Tech Tip got cookie hijacked. Maybe now Google will do something about the problem. Two-factor authentication does not even work against that because it keeps the session open, right? So two-factor authentication isn't even good enough to stop this. And what you need is a third layer of security. I mean, one of the craziest things to me is that in what world would any YouTuber like rename and delete all their videos? Like, why isn't there just like a temporary third factor authentication to do like a major channel name change or a major deletion of videos or unlisting and relisting of videos? You know, it's like I have my notifications on for Linus Tech Tips. Whoever is restoring Linus Tech Tips channel made a great mistake of making all unlisted and possibly private videos public. I think we all know it's going to happen in like 5 minutes. So time to archive them all. And you see like all these other videos that should not have been public. Now people are downloading them. So of course, this is, you know, YouTube trying to respond to it and trying to fix it. It's certainly not malicious on their part, but now all these videos are out there. So who knows? I mean, this is going to be a huge mess because what if there's, again, embargoed information or private information or all this kind of stuff like that. Linus Tech Tips 10, 15.3 million followers. Now, every time this seems to happen, right, YouTube generally fixes it. You see Linus Tech Tips now being recovered, most likely going to take some time. People are literally super chatting, scam, don't click anything. I hope, That's some really good viewers, by the way. Shout out to a lot of Tech Tips viewers who are spending their own money who are to moderate the chat and tell everyone don't click any links. But this is just, you know, the latest in a long line of major issues that YouTube has had with keeping accounts safe, keeping its users safe. Now, remember, usually, in almost all cases, these people get their channel back. Linus Tech Tips channel will be fine. He'll get his channel back. All right. How many of his viewers got scammed out of cryptocurrency because of YouTube's vulnerabilities? It seems like, you know, the two-factor authentication, which is a burdensome thing for some people. I don't know why. I'd rather not have my account stolen. But it seems like even that isn't enough anymore. And there's going to be, you would think that there should be lawsuits or this kind of thing coming up when YouTube seemingly has not done enough to protect its users. I mean, it's been going on like this forever. So what can you do? What can creators do? Well, in this particular case, getting session hijacked, I'm not sure there is anything that users can do. What I do is when you have a YouTube channel, you get oftentimes many emails from potential sponsors saying, oh, hey, do you want to, you know, do this or that or the other thing? Well, I have that email, those emails on a computer that doesn't have access to my YouTube channels, doesn't have access to my passwords. Not everyone can afford to have a second computer tied up, or maybe you could use a virtual machine. That'd be another option if you're more tech savvy. You could do a virtual machine to check your emails. A lot of times you get links that say, oh, click this link to, you know, check out our software so that we'll pay you $4,000 a month to sponsor it or to show it or to whatever. People click that and then they're compromised before they even know it. Then at some point, their channel gets taken over. It might not be then. It might not be. So I always avoid clicking any links in emails unless they're from somebody I absolutely know. If it's suspicious, you can use a virtual machine. The other thing is, if it's suspicious, just don't respond to it. The reason they get people usually is they're attached to these emails with huge sponsorship numbers or promises. So people are like, oh, wow, this is a lot of money. This is life-changing money. I'm going to click it and see what's going on. And then they take your channel and ruin your life and steal from your followers and put you in potential legal problems by publishing all your videos. And that's like the least they could do. We've seen before where they switch people's PayPal accounts, switch people's all sorts of stuff that makes it extremely difficult to get things back. So don't click any links you're not aware of. Don't open them on computers that have access to your YouTube accounts. And YouTube themselves has to add another layer of security here because even two-factor authentication isn't enough. It would appear that actions do, in some cases, have some level of consequence. And this week has been a week of consequence, especially for woke clowns, in particular librarians who don't like Kirk Cameron for whatever reason, reading a simple book in the library. Now, librarians, the job itself is actually deeply infested with a lot of far-left ideologues that secretly pack bookshelves in schools and public libraries with all sorts of nonsense that shouldn't be there but flies under the radar because who would suspect a lowly librarian, right? But now once people start looking, in school libraries and public libraries, and they're finding all sorts of stuff in kids' sections and things of that nature, people start looking around. Well, this particular Tennessee library director effed around and found out, got themselves fired after having a woke hissy fit simply because Kirk Cameron appeared there for a story hour. I guess he wasn't dressed in a dress, so that probably upset them. The video of it is hilarious. A Tennessee library director was fired after he and woke staffers disrupted a conservative event held by author Kirk Cameron, where a female swimming champ blasted trans athlete Leah Thomas. Alan Morales, who was ousted following a 4-3 board vote to fire him earlier this week after the chaotic February 25th event at Sumner County Library. The staff allegedly play loud music, shout, and slam books, while Cameron and NCAA swim competitor Riley Gaines recorded clips promoting their book. Morales himself was accused of being, quote, unkind towards Cameron and his group. The Sumner County Library Board now voted 4-3 to fire library director Alan Morales, for failing to control his staff members at the controversial event, according to the Tennessean. He was also slammed for failing to control his staff and having a poor attitude towards a booking his library had agreed to honor. Cameron, a former child actor, had been scheduled to read a book, his book, As You Grow, at Hendersonville Library. It encourages families to focus on Bible teachings rather than critical race theory and transgenderism. Well, you know a librarian isn't going to allow that. I'm not saying all librarians. I'm sure there are plenty of them that are just concerned with having the most up-to-date and diverse collection of works available, but then there are babies, woke babies, like this. The Tennessee event was sponsored by Christian publishing company Brave Books that featured University of Kentucky swimmer Riley Gaines and reality star Missy Robertson of Duck Dynasty. Brave Books had officially hired the library for the event, with Morales expressing concern that it would be, quote, political, leading up into the days up to the visit after reading a conservative op-ed by Cameron on Fox News. And when Cameron, Gaines, and Robertson went to film a promotional video for his book tour, library staff members started talking loudly, playing music, and banging cabinets in protest at the conservative visitors' views. Now, these are people that took money, right, in exchange to have to, in exchange, you know, that they get paid. The incident was just the latest backlash following the 52-year-old Growing Pains star after publishing his children's book, which several libraries across the country have banned him from reading at Story House. Now, I suppose if he wore a dress, there would be no issue whatsoever with this, right? Gaines was filmed upbraided from unseen staff member at Sumner County Library shortly after recording a segment where she bemoaned having to compete against biological men. A loud slam could be heard in the background, with Gaines marching up to the help desk and blasting the immature staffer for their behavior. By the way, this is just a kid. She's what, 18, 19, 20, something like that? These are grown adults literally throwing a hissy fit, like they're in the checkout aisle and their mom told them they could have a Reese's peanut butter cup. And like heroes, they stayed out of sight. But a female library worker who was visible appeared to agree with Gaines. The former student athlete who has spoken out against trans women competing in some sports said that letting her finish recording the clip in peace would be the quickest way in ending the visit that was if it was bothering the library staffer. This is an adult. 50-year-old man. Former child star Kirk Cameron had top billing at the 25th of February event, which saw him reading from his new anti-woke book, As You Grow. It encourages families to follow Bible teachings while rejecting critical race theory. Staffers are also said to have spoken loudly, played loud music, and other banging noises while Cameron and Gaines tried to record, although only one incident was captured on camera. Oh, please show me the video. Please have the video. Brave Books was unable to get in contact with the Hendersonville Library, stipulating that they could use the facility's community room for a story hour and was reportedly allowed to film promotional videos in the foyer. But prior to the event, a series of email messages between library officials and Brave Book representatives show Morales was concerned about the event's size and that it would become political in the days leading up to the story hour. I'm sure, again, if they had been wearing dresses, it would have been fine. He noted in one of the messages that recent Fox News article created a stir in the community and that activities and guest appearances described by the outlet were not part of the original agreement. Morales also asked about potentially moving the event to a nearby church. Quote, our invitation was sincere to read a book during our story time, he wrote in a February 22nd email. We guard that time because it's for small kids, not adults. We work hard at not promoting any agendas left or right. If I don't hear from you within 30 minutes, we will officially cancel the event. Ooh, big talk. Though Morales did not specify the Fox News article he was referring to, it is possible he's referring to the one entitled Nashville Bound Kirk Cameron Rips Today's Woke Culture, Tides May Finally Be Turning. In the article, Cameron promised that he would spread his message of faith, family, and personal freedoms in the Tennessee to the Tennessee Library. I'm hitting the road to go to state, library to library, to sound the alarm and wake these people up who are asleep on the sidelines, so that we can win back the hearts and minds of our children. Seems like a good message to me. On the day of the event, Cameron had to reassure the public that the event was still being held at the library and not the church down the street. It's going to be a beautiful morning. We expect a big turnout here at the library, And following the event, a video posted online showed Gaines filming a promotional video in which she speaks out against biological male athletes competing against biological females when loud bangs could be heard in the background. At that point, Gaines decided to confront one of the female librarians who was laughing at the commotion. "This is just immature," Gaines tells the adult librarian. "And honestly, it's really disrespectful. Like, you guys are old enough to know that this is extremely disrespectful." Whoa, get wrecked. Like, to slam your feet or books or whatever on the ground, it's pretty ridiculous. "We have 60 more seconds, and that's all we ask of you guys. And if you would be, it'd be way quicker if we weren't slamming books and stomping our feet." These are adults, by the way. Grown men and women. Librarians seem to agree with Gaines, who then goes back to recording her message. Interesting. Speaking of the event to Blaze TV's Unashamed with Phil and Jace Robertson, Missy Robertson claimed Brave Books team member tried to speak to someone in charge at the library of they could keep their staff down there for a few minutes while they were filming. The unnamed individual then allegedly replied something to the effect of, "You're not even supposed to be here." Then when Gaines asked the staff to turn off the music for a few seconds, a female library staff member replied that she had no authority to turn off the music, and that the staff were looking into new ways to cope with stress. What? Are you kidding me? Please tell me. Is this the video?
It doesn't have to be stressful.
Take a step back and just roll into it as soon as you're ready.
Okay. Sorry. Can I just pick up?
Start right that line.
Okay. "When Bethany Hamilton used her voice to speak out against this injustice, I was so impressed." I want to say inspired. Can I redo that again? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. "When Bethany Hamilton used her voice to speak out against this injustice, I was so inspired. Like Bethany teaches in her book, Surfing Past Fear, we must overcome our fears and fight back for what's right. I admire and support Bethany for speaking out against the changes the World Surf League made that now allow biological men to compete in the Women's League, and her commitment to not compete in the league for as long as this ruling is in effect. I'm here today in support of Brave Books and Bethany Hamilton, who are both committed to standing up for what is right and making an impact for the next generation. Today, I'm inviting you to join them in this amazing movement by subscribing to the Freedom Island Book Club. Get a new book with a new value delivered right to your doorstep every single month. Right now, you can get your first book for just $1. Use them to be brave."
Is it not on there? I wanted to see the, where's the video? Where's the hullabaloo? Oh no, let me find it. Here we go.
"Hardworking female competitors such as myself to succeed. I found that most competitors are too scared to speak out against." Okay, this is just immature. And it's honestly extremely disrespectful.
Oh.
Like, you guys are old enough to know that is, like, extremely disrespectful.
Yes.
Like, to slam your feet or books or whatever on the ground, that's pretty ridiculous.
Oh, no.
"We have 60 more seconds, and that's all that we ask of you guys. And it would be made quicker if we weren't slamming books and stomping our feet."
I'm with you.
"Thank you so much."
Good. Good for Riley Gaines. I hope that she, does well in life. She seems to have her head screwed on straight. Hopefully she doesn't get sucked into kind of this political machine. But to the librarian that was fired, see you later. TikTok looks to have made some stunning admissions today while testifying on Capitol Hill about the ban in America. Doesn't make them look too good. On top of that, new studies show that over 40% of Americans support the outright ban. Now, I am one of those Americans that do support the outright ban of TikTok, at least temporarily, until we can have better safeguards in place for Americans' data, because in today's, some of the admissions they made today were exactly what we all expected or suspected that they would be doing with it. And it's much deeper than just TikTok. It's any of the apps coming out of the CCP. Now, House lawmakers eviscerated TikTok CEO over harmful content and national security risks posed by the popular video sharing app during tense hearings on Washington on Thursday. And I've got a couple clips from this. During one of the emotional outbursts, Representative Gus Bilirakis, I'm totally sure, confronted Chu about a 16-year-old who's no longer with us anymore because of TikTok promoting videos on such things, allegedly. Her parents, who have filed a wrongful suit against TikTok's parent company ByteDance, were in tears as he played similar videos for attendees during the House Energy and Commerce Committee hearing chaired by Kathy McMorris Rogers. Mr. Chu, your company destroyed their lives. Chu described the passing of their daughter as devastating and tragic. We do take these issues very seriously, and we provide resources for anyone of that type in anything, you know, self-hurt related. In another tense exchange, Representative Kat Kamek played a TikTok video showing, something, and me, ASF, at the House Energy Commerce Committee, and then tagging McMorris Rogers. She alleged the video was published the morning before the hearing was publicly announced and then had been online for 41 days without action from TikTok. It's a direct threat to the chairwoman of this committee, the people in this room, and yet still remains on the platform. Kamek said, you expect us to believe that you're capable of maintaining the data security of 150 million Americans when you can't even protect the people in this room. Chu asked to respond to the video but was cut off by the chairwoman. Chu's closely watched appearance comes as lawmakers from both parties push for a nationwide ban on TikTok due to national security concerns. Critics have alleged that China can use the platform to snoop on more than 150 million Americans, which we know they have done, and they made several admissions today. Quote, I have seen no evidence that the Chinese government has access to the data, the CEO said. They have never asked us. We've never provided. I've seen no evidence of that happening. Earlier Thursday, China said it would firmly oppose calls for TikTok's parent company to divest its ownership stakes or be banned in the United States, a declaration that raised fresh concern about Beijing's role in the company. The packed hearing began with scathing remarks from McMorris Rogers, who immediately expressed her support for the TikTok ban while blasting the platform's ties to the CCP. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of the clips here after this. We do not trust TikTok will ever embrace American values, McMorris Rogers said. TikTok has repeatedly chosen the path for more control, more surveillance, more manipulation. Your platform should be banned, she added. The chair also alleged that TikTok has repeatedly been caught in the lie that it does not answer to the CCP through ByteDance. Chu, who waffled between defiance and contrition in his first appearance on Capitol Hill, said he takes the U.S. government's concerns about national security very, very seriously and was committed to keeping the content free from any manipulation from any government. Did you though? The TikTok CEO touted his company's $1.5 billion effort to protect and store U.S. data on American soil through a partnership with Oracle, an initiative known internally as Project Texas. TikTok is willing to offer third-party monitoring of our source code to reassure lawmakers, Chu said. There are more than 150 million Americans who love our platform, and we know we have a responsibility to protect them. But did you? Chu irritated lawmakers from both parties with evasive responses to some questions, often declining to answer yes or no queries or telling lawmakers that he would need to follow up with a written response after the hearing. Chu's assurances about U.S. data protection practices failed to convince lawmakers. The committee's ranking member, Representative Frank Pallone, was among those who argued that TikTok's partnership with Oracle was not a real security or privacy concerns. I still believe that the Beijing Communist government will still control and have the ability to influence what you do. Pallone said, this idea, this Project Texas, is simply not acceptable. You can see here, I want to bring this. There's a couple. Here's a clip. Here, one thing. ByteDance confirmed it used TikTok to monitor journalists' physical location by using their IP address. I mean, that doesn't exactly sound like a company that is, you know, concerned about our rights. This is back from late December. An internal investigation by ByteDance, the parent company of video sharing platform TikTok, found that employees tracked multiple journalists covering the company, improperly gaining access to their IP addresses and user data in an attempt to identify whether or not they had been in the same locations as ByteDance employees. So that would tell you that they probably also are tracking the via IP the locations of their own employees. According to materials reviewed by Forbes, ByteDance tracked multiple Forbes journalists as part of a covert surveillance campaign, which was designed to unearth the source of leaks inside the company following a drumbeat of stories exposing the company's ongoing links to China. As a result of the investigation into the surveillance tactics, ByteDance has fired Chris Lepetak, its chief internal auditor who led the team responsible for them. The China-based executive Song Ye, who Lepetak reported to and reported directly to ByteDance CEO Rubo Lang, resigned. I mean, this was in December. This wasn't 10 years ago. Here's one tense exchange.
How you can actually say, and you spoke in your opening statement about a firewall relative to the data. But the Chinese government has that data. How can you promise that will move into the United States of America and be protected here?
Congresswoman, I have seen no evidence that the Chinese government has access to that data. They have never asked us. We have not provided.
Well, you know what? I find that actually preposterous.
I have seen no evidence of this happening. Mm. And in order to assure everybody here and all our users, our commitment is to move their data into the United States to be stored on American soil by an American company, overseen by American personnel. So the risk will be similar to any government going to an American company asking for data.
It's funny that even Democrats, here's a good exchange too from Ms. Kamek out of Florida.
No, Microsoft.
Also, my colleague, Representative Latta, confirmed that your parent company, ByteDance, currently can access user data. Yes?
We have to be more specific.
Yes.
After you Project Texas? No.
I'm not asking after Project Texas. I'm asking now. Yes.
Some user data is public data, Congresswoman, which means everybody can search.
What's interesting to me is that you've used the word transparency over a half a dozen times in your opening testimony and subsequently again in your answers to my colleagues. Yet the interesting thing to me is that ByteDance, your parent company, has gone out of their way to hide an airbrush corporate structure, ties to the CCP, the company's founder, and their activities. You can look no further than the fact that ByteDance's website has been scrubbed.
Interesting, right? Very interesting. I mean, and again, this is not new. All of this stuff, Congress members go after TikTok at CEO's hearing, control, surveillance, and manipulation. Quote, we do not trust, here's the other statement I mentioned earlier.
TikTok collects nearly every data point imaginable, from people's location to what they type and copy, who they talk to, biometric data, and more. Even if they've never been on TikTok, your trackers are embedded in sites across the web. TikTok surveils us all. And the Chinese Communist Party is able to use this as a tool to manipulate America as a whole.
I don't disagree with this. Some stunning admissions, you know, by their CEO. You know, and the other thing is, remember, this is also just what we know now. Multiple times there's been data breaches. The CEO may not even know about that. He literally might not. There might be some secret oversight. The problem is just bigger than simply TikTok. Banning TikTok does not actually divest the Chinese government from getting our data and a variety of other apps that they have that are very popular here in the United States too. You need a stronger plan, but I think a temporary ban of TikTok, at minimum, you say, okay, well, Project Texas is going to fix this. All right, well, when you get Project Texas in place and we approve it and we're satisfied, then we will allow TikTok to return to the United States. That seems like such a normal thing to do, but when you're dealing with government, nothing's ever that cut and dry. Nothing's ever that simple. But these are people that have surveyed journalists. These are people that have lied several times in the United States about, you know, whether or not they're recording us, using us. Their CEO is being as slippery as humanly possible here. We know that their algorithm here in the United States is far different than what they show in China, right? And there's a reason for that. We've seen reports over the last few days that their algorithm pushes self-harm videos and all sorts of other stuff to people within 10 clicks of being on their site in some cases. We know the kind of brightly colored hair weirdos that flourish on Twitter. I believe that they are pushed by their algorithm to erode Western values. That's my opinion. I can't know that for sure, but I don't really see any reason why we can't at least temporarily ban it until such a point where we're satisfied with security. Seems like an easy thing to do. I had an interesting moment yesterday on Twitter. Maybe just a actual break from the programming, where Anna Kasparian, I don't know if you know about Anna Kasparian. She's a commentator with the Young Turks. She has been for a very long time. The Young Turks is a far-left, corporate-funded YouTube channel that has waned in popularity since their peak, probably in the peak TDS era of the 2016 election. They've still been screeching about Trump ever since, and so their viewership only continues to go down. And their other co-founder, Cenk Uygur, is the father of Hassan, another plague on the intellectual parts of society, who also unsuccessfully ran for office in California. So it's a whole mess. But Anna Kasparian had a moment of clarity yesterday and shared a completely normal, reasonable statement, and the entire left has turned against her, and I am not surprised at all. Let's actually dive right into this. Anna Kasparian tweets, almost 100,000 likes, one of her most popular tweets in a very, very long time. "I'm a woman. Please don't ever refer to me as a person with a uterus, a birthing person, or a person who menstruates. How do people not realize how degrading this is? You can support the trans community without doing this stuff." 100,000 likes, 16 million views. A totally normal take, right? Biology matters. It's degrading to women to reduce them to a simple organ of their body or a function of their body. And it's okay to separate these two things. So much gets kind of muddied in the fierce push for quote unquote inclusion by the far left, but they're not really trying to include. They're trying to erode. They're trying to degrade. They're trying to diminish women. This is why they allow biological men to take over women's spaces in locker rooms. This is why they allow biological men to take over women's spaces in sports and compete, and they say nothing. Some of the responses immediately go, "Here, Zuby, your side's going to roast you now. I hope you're ready for the tolerance." She writes, "They have the right to speak their piece, as do I." Carrie Lake gets in there, broken clock. Anna Kasparian says, "I think you're an embarrassment to this country and a full-blown lunatic." And there's a lot of people here who, you know, on the left, there's nothing not inclusive about calling a woman and calling a trans person. A trans person is not a woman, trans or a man, right? Well, biologically they are. But if you were born a man, no amount of identifiers and whatever or surgeries will make you a woman and vice versa. It's not mean to say that. It's just a fact. And you don't have to cram that down their throat and try to ruin their life. Then, of course, you get the humanist report coming in with, "I respect you a lot, but this notion is the mere existence of trans-inclusive terms, rarely used in casual convos." It's used constantly in press. This is the gaslighting part of it with the left. It's like I caught that clown, the young, the serfs or whatever today, saying, "Oh, kids don't have surgeries." It took me like 3 seconds to find 100 examples of kids having double mastectomies and getting on puberty blockers. They live in a different reality, and it's actually demonic how openly and willing they are to lie about things. And that's exactly what's going on here with the humanist, whoever the heck this is, the humanist report. This type of terminology is used all the time. It's used in mainstream media, it's used in mainstream press, and it's used in academia. Okay? So what they're trying to do is gaslight here. A man telling a woman, by the way, how very trans. somehow degrades women, comes out, which she said, I respect you a lot, but this notion that the mere existence of trans inclusive terms that are rarely used in casual conversations, again, that's not true, somehow degrades women, comes right out of the right's anti-trans war on women playbook. There's a reason that they're praising you for this. I mean, I don't have anything against trans people. There seems to be varying degrees of the pushback on the right, you know, where it's with some people on the right, it literally consumes their every waking moment of every political opinion they have. But then there's like more normal people who are like, hey, maybe men should compete against men and women should compete against women. Let's talk about, you know, the inflation and the real estate market collapse and our banks collapsing and, you know, the Republicans now having a full-blown disaster with how they're going to, or who they're going to run to beat Joe Biden and what's going on in Ukraine. These are all other issues that need attention too. So Anna replies, hey, Mike, you're a guy who has no clue what it's like to have your reproductive freedom taken away, but consider what it's like to have the same lawmakers who failed to protect our rights turn around and call us people with uteruses. It's not inclusive if cis women hate it. And you see, like, Michael Tracy, I regret to inform you that you have just endorsed literal terrible things. You see, I'm a woman, I don't have a uterus, I don't menstruate, and I have never been able to give birth naturally. How dare you take that for granted that woman necessarily means any of these things? Use language properly. Like, there's so many people in the comments having total meltdowns. Like, if you need all of these Venn diagrams to explain what simple words mean, it's ridiculous. I am also a woman and proud of it. I fight for us every day, but not everyone who deals with reproductive issues is a woman. Speaking with inclusion does not erase your womanhood, and you actually can't support the trans and GNC, that's gender nonconforming communities, without inclusion. That's actually 100% incorrect. To which she even replies, Liz, I have zero problem with inclusion, none. But there's got to be a better way than boiling it down to a body part, especially in the context of having reproductive rights taken away from people who just see woman as a baby-making vessel. I mean, you see, you know, hi, Anna. No one's, I assume this is a friendly, okay, yeah, pronouns, LGBTQ, yep, terminally online, yep, okay. Hi, Anna. No one is asking you to call yourself or be called anything other than a woman. Anatomy-oriented language is used in a clinical context. Again, that is 100% not true. Open up any mainstream media article. They use it in headlines all the time. And it's like, oh, this is a TERF thing. Didn't realize the Young Turks was right wing now. So being in touch with reality and basic biology is a right wing thing. I mean, that's essentially what it is. Brad Palumbo saying a sensible mainstream take that's going to absolutely trigger the heck out of every very online progressives. I mean, I think that this is the rate of where we are with discourse. I don't think that, you know, and I think Twitter really warped a lot of people's minds because there's a small, relatively speaking, group of very online people, mostly progressive, but they're also very online conservatives too, hard right, that really can gaslight you into thinking, well, this is the way it really should be because this tweet got 60,000 likes and 30,000 of them are from alt accounts and bots. Okay, and Discord servers set up to mass like tweets, which happens all the time. I see it happen on the right. I see it happen on the left. Six Hexenhammer saying, enjoy being J.K. Rowling, far-right extremist. Now, people on the right were obviously quote-tweeting this and saying, you know, here you come. You see, as the response from the left against Anna Kasparian shows, leftism isn't a defined set of principles or goals. It's a horizon in the distance, not a destination to be arrived at. It cannot stop moving left because it's always further left, is the guiding principle of leftism. Anna's trying to distance herself from the monster she helped create. Don't celebrate posts like this one. It's no different from conservatives celebrating Bill Maher saying something people consider based. None of them are on our side. Probably not true. I'm sorry, probably true. Bill Maher gets a lot of press, free press from the right, anytime he says something that's totally normal and non-controversial about the left. this take by Anna Kasparian is a very normal left-wing take. It doesn't mean she's not a lefty lunatic. I mean, I've been interacting with this woman's content for the last 10 years. She really hasn't changed that much politically. She's still a lefty lunatic. But it's because all these people that are terminally online, and the people, like, the people in her replies are just absolutely insane with rage over this. Insane with rage for just a, hey, don't call me a birthing person. Like, maybe. I don't think that that's an unreasonable take, but if you just look at the people in her replies, they're absolutely seething, like dilating, having, you know, they're like the Szechuan sauce guy having a total meltdown because they don't have Szechuan sauce. I'm not going to let these very small group of people take over their narrative. Women are women, and everyone knows what a woman is, all right? Unless you're one of these terminally online lunatics and your opinion doesn't matter. Vosh saying, I've never heard any of these terms outside of a few tweets and PowerPoint screenshots when academics grasp desperately for some inoffensive, inclusive medical terminology. Open up a mainstream media article. Happens all the time. They should be mocked, and that's exactly what Anna's doing, and rejected, which is exactly what Anna's doing. So good luck with the backlash. This is a monster of your own making, though. It looks like we've got some pretty bad news for old Jack Dorsey, or at least how it looks on Twitter. It doesn't look very good. Some wild claims of massive fraud in his company and a huge drop in his stock price due to allegedly overinflating the number of customers that his company actually has. And I wonder how far back this actually goes, how deep this actually goes. This doesn't seem like a very trustworthy thing to do, and now there's some absolute heat on the man over his new company Block facilitating massive amounts of fraud, allegedly. Now, this is from Disclosed TV and, you know, a wide variety of others. Short seller Hindenburg, which is kind of hilarious, accuses Jack Dorsey's Block, which is his company, of facilitating fraud. Hindenburg Research, which is a short seller whose new report, brutal report on Indian billionaire Gautam Adani, triggered a $150 billion loss of the mogul's net worth, is now claiming Jack Dorsey's mobile payment firm Block of facilitating fraud by turning a blind eye to customers who took advantage of lockdown-era relief payments. Uh-oh. Well, here's one thing I can tell you. My company, coffeebrandcoffee.com, right down below, promo code The Quartering, 15 delicious coffees, 15 delicious organic teas, including 3 new detox teas and 3 hot cocos, would never facilitate fraud or pump our numbers like Jack Dorsey did. And I would love for you to open a new tab and give us a try today. It supports the channel directly. And if you check out our reviews, I know you'll see that that the product is worth your time. Block was also accused of failing to crack down on illegal activities by customers of its Cash App payments facilitator. Hindenburg claims that Cash App clients exploited government stimulus payments during the COVID lockdowns to line their pockets. Quote, Block ignored both internal and external warnings that multiple individuals using the same bank account number to receive government funds was a brazen red flag of fraud, Hindenburg said in the report. Multiple key lapses in Cash App's compliance processes facilitated billions in government payout fraud. Hindenburg said it was told by authorities in Massachusetts that the state was looking to claw back more than 70,000 unemployment payments sent to Cash App accounts. 70,000 payments. I mean, this is what happens when your government just prints trillions of dollars and then says, you can stay at home and we'll just send you money. Of course, it seems like every other week we see somebody who's getting arrested for it. You know, oh, this influencer, that influencer took $6 million, $9 million because the money was so incredibly easy to get. other states were also going after Cash App in an effort to claw back allegedly ill-gotten gains. Washington State said wanted more than $200 million back from payment processors, while Arizona sought to recover $500 million. The short seller also accused Block of flouting the law by charging up to 35% in interchange fees, well above the cap set by regulators. Hindenburg said the same method used by Cash App rival PayPal over its debit card interchange rates, which are the fees that merchants pay banks every time a customer swipes a debit card. In July 2021, the SEC launched an investigation of PayPal for allegedly circumventing the cap on interchange fees by routing payments through smaller banks. A Freedom of Information Act request we filed with SEC indicates that Block, Jack Dorsey's company, may be a part of a similar investigation. Shares of Block, which developed the popular Cash App mobile payment facilitator, plunged by nearly 20% just after opening the bell. The opening bell rang on Thursday. The Post sought comment from Block. Quote, "Our two-year investigation has concluded that Block has systematically, taken advantage of the demographics it claims to be helping," the short seller said in a note published on the website. Hindenburg claims that Block obfuscates the number of customers registered on its Cash App platform by reporting misleading transacting active metrics filled with fake and duplicate accounts. Now, I wonder, was there another company that was also maybe accused of having a huge number of potentially fake or duplicate accounts that was tied to Jack Dorsey? I can't think of the name. Was it Coffee Brand Coffee.com? No, that was Twitter. The firm said the Block co-founders Jack Dorsey and James McKelvey collectively sold over $1 billion of stock during the lockdowns as the company's shares price soared. Other executives included finance chief, Don't Really Care, and lead manager for Cash App, Brian Don't Care, also dumped millions of dollars in stock, the report added, before releasing its findings on Thursday morning. Hindenburg teased that it would be issuing a few new reports soon and another big one. The tweet on Wednesday went viral, generating more than 31,000 likes and 6 million views as of Thursday morning. About 5.2% of Block's free float shares were in a short position as of March 22nd. The company's ticker was the third most trending on retail investor stock forum StockTwits. Last month, Block said it's meaningfully slowing the pace of hiring this year due to control costs. Now, if you look at it as it stands now, it's recovered a little bit, but not much. It's still down nearly 17% and falling as the day goes on. Now, they did respond. They did response to this. They did respond, to this, saying, "We intend to work with the SEC and explore legal action against Hindenburg Research for the factually inaccurate and misleading report they shared about our Cash App business today." Now, the thing is, this company is in the business of short selling, right? Hindenburg, which is probably like, maybe it's an on-the-nose name. They make money when stock prices fall. Hindenburg is known for these type of attacks, which are designed solely to allow short sellers to profit from a declined stock price. "We have reviewed the full report in the context of our own data and believe it is designed to deceive and confuse investors. We are a highly regulated public company with regular disclosures and are confident in our products, reporting, compliance programs, and controls. We will not be distracted by typical short seller tactics." Well, I suppose that's a response. You see here, Jack Dorsey's Block hit with fraud allegations for massively overstating its user base, following Elon Musk's accusations that Twitter also artificially inflated its metrics. Jack's other company is in the spotlight. The firm claimed that 40 to 70% of Cash App's 51 million active users were fake, involved in fraud, or were multiple accounts tied to the same user. If it's 70%, they're claiming that 35 million of the 51 million were fake accounts. I mean, if you told me that 70% of active Twitter users were fake, I'd believe you. I'd believe you today, still, as I use Twitter less and less and less, and it seems like my viewers are using Twitter less and less and less. I don't even know what the long term is for Twitter anymore. It certainly has a lot of ground to make up. It has a lot of value to add to bring users back, even though it's under different ownership. Even I canceled my Twitter Blue, although the tick mark is still there till 30 days after I canceled it or whatever, but it's canceled. Now, again, more than that, the report claims that Block was focusing on getting criminals to use the app for facilitating identity fraud and other grifts, then allowing them to withdraw funds quickly. Instead of banning users found to be facilitating fraud, Hindenburg said Block banned the individual accounts without blacklisting the actual grifter. Now, Hindenburg are known short sellers, and the firm released its report. Shares of Block dived more than 20%, according to Bloomberg Markets. While Hindenburg is using this report to put Block into a new short position, the two-year investigation concluded interviews with former employees and reviews of public and private documents. Despite Hindenburg's obvious financial incentive, the report included many specific claims that Cash App was inflating Cash App's user base. Quote, for example, the firm quotes a former Cash App employee who said that a majority of accounts were overcounted because they had multiple accounts connected to a single user. Some users have dozens of accounts tied to them, but others can have hundreds. Another unnamed former employee reportedly told Block, said that Block blacklisted accounts but did not go after original users through his social security number, which they could have easily done. Since users normally require just a phone number and an email to sign up, it's easy to create new ones if you get banned. Even stranger, the report alleged the Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey had been promoting how often Cash App was used in hip-hop and rap songs, but the songs themselves often promoted just how often app was used for a crime. Hindenburg included a video in its report with songs that included tracks from the rappers like Lil Durk and Juice WRLD talking about paying for hits and other things on Cash App. The firm alleged Block paid to promote a particular song called Cash App, which mentions hiring contract bad guys using the payment service. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's marketing. Is that itself illegal? I don't think so. It doesn't seem like it. But looks like old Dorsey isn't quite the reformed guy that he wants everyone to believe. And I, for one, am totally not shocked whatsoever at all. I hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, please make sure you leave a like on it and you subscribe down below. And we'll talk to you again real soon.